May I speak in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
So often I hear people, and especially people of my age, say that they are spiritual but not religious. And that question always makes me wonder about the difference between religion and spirituality. For me, they are so much one and the same that it's hard to sort them out, but I have begun to think about them differently, and that is mostly because of the work of a Jesuit theologian named Karl Rahner. And Rahner was very interested in the idea of what makes us human, what makes us different from all the other animals in God's creation. And he came up with a few characteristics. He talks about our uniqueness, how each of us is more than the sum of our genetics and our environment, about our freedom, our free will, and our capacity to choose, about our solidarity with other humans, how we're always in relationship with other people. But then he distinguishes two things. He says we all have a spirituality, the tendency to look for meaning in our lives, to try to make sense of our living and our dying and why we're here. And then separately from that, we have the capacity for a relationship with God. And humans have that in a way that no other created being does. But because of free will, we can choose to accept that relationship or not. So this is how I've come to see it. Spirituality is about seeking meaning, and everyone does that. Religion is about relationship. It's a way of moving through the world that is focused on connecting to an energy or a being or a consciousness that is greater than ourselves. But as Rahner says, that is something that we have to choose. And different religious traditions have very different ideas about what it means to be in relationship with God or even what God is. But in today's scripture readings, we begin to see a picture of the biblical concept of right relationship and what it means for how we should live our lives as followers of Jesus. In Leviticus, we learn the rules for gleaners. And in agriculture, gleanings are the leftovers after a harvest. They're the few apples that don't get picked off the tree or that fall to the ground, or that weren't quite ripe at the time when the farm laborers came through. And God commands that farmers leave the gleanings for the poor and the alien, so that they can come and gather and will not go hungry. Not only that, but so that they will be able to have the dignity of working to feed themselves and take care of their families. The poor and the alien in Levitical times are not so different from people who go hungry now. Sometimes people who have had no access to education. Sometimes people who are new to the area and don't speak the language. Always people who would seek another way of taking care of their families if they could. God says, never leave those people on the side of the road alone. And the gleaning command is finished with this very cryptic sentence, I am the Lord your God. The gleaners are interesting because the idea of gleaning has kind of captured the public imagination. If you look around the Boston area, you can find the Boston area gleaners, who are a team of volunteers that go to farms in New England and they harvest surplus crops. If there are too many butternut squashes and grocery stores don't want them all, or if there is produce that is irregular and can't be sold, the gleaners collect all of those fruits and vegetables and then connect them to food pantries, to domestic violence shelters, to anybody who might be in need of fresh food. In Somerville, there's also the Gleaner's Kitchen, a dumpster diving cafe that seeks to reduce waste and at the same time make sure that nobody goes hungry. And I think about those things as this passage goes on in Leviticus, because it doesn't stop with the rules for farmers. It goes on to tell us more about how to be in relationship with other people, to deal honestly and to treat workers fairly, and to be inclusive of people with disabilities. And all punctuated with the same reminder, "You shall not steal, I am the Lord. You shall not mistreat the deaf or the blind, I am the Lord. You shall love your neighbor as yourself, I am the Lord." The Levitical laws teach us that there is only one way to be in relationship with the God of the Bible. We have to start by repairing our relationships with each other. And Jesus draws on this idea when he gives, of all the Gospels, some of the most difficult advice to accept. When he says that we must love our enemies and turn the other cheek to people who try to hurt us and give our cloak as well when someone steals our coat from us. And I struggle with these, as I think most people do. But thinking about these words from Leviticus, I've started to wonder, is part of the challenge for us in separating everyone we know into camps of neighbors and enemies that it can be easy to get the camps mixed up? That when we are eager to protect our own fields or vineyards, it's easy to look at desperate people who want to gather the gleanings and see them as trespassers who need to be controlled. That when we look at people who need extra help, it's easy to put stumbling blocks before them and say that they are taking resources from us. I wonder if Jesus is trying to protect us from our own self-interest when he tells us that we have to look past the idea of enemies and people who are taking things that are rightfully ours, and instead behave more like God. As he says, God makes the sun rise on the evil and the good, and doesn't withhold blessing no matter what our human behavior is. If we seek to be more like God, if we seek to follow Jesus, how can we do anything but the same? Karl Rahner, the theologian, talks quite a bit in his idea of humanity about embodiment. And for that, him, that doesn't mean only that we have bodies, but that we are embedded in a time and place, that we're inseparable from our history and our culture, and that those particulars are part of what make us who we are. And that shapes how we engage with biblical text. Most of us are not in agriculture. We don't have vineyards or farms for gleaners to come to. And hopefully we don't have anyone striking us on the right cheek. So we have to stop and consider how these apply to our lives. But in the end, I think it all comes back to relationship. If we truly seek to be in a relationship with God that is dynamic and growing and life-giving, we must first seek to fix our relationships with each other. Amen.